Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Bonus episode this week. Holy shit. Ari Spears from Mad TV, from Jerry Maguire, one of the funniest fucking comics in the game, and Andy Steinberg, another hilarious comedian, have started a podcast together called Spears and Steinberg. And they're going around trying to get the word out. So they pop by to the ALN podcast to suck up some listeners. And man, talk about one of my favorite episodes of 2018. And I'm not just saying that. Like, Ari Spears is just one of the funniest dudes you'll ever meet. And him and Andy compliment each other so well. The dynamic, the contrast, it's... you're going to love it. Spears and Steinberg is the name of their podcast. And if this episode doesn't give you a good taste of the energy and comedy that they're going to bring on their podcast, that they do bring because it's already out, then you're going to be pleasantly... You're going to love it, is what I'm trying to say. It's awesome. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. It's got everything. So much laughs, so much real talk, too. Some of the questions that Aries asks Brad about... being a dwarf is some questions we've never heard before. And Brad is so generous with his answers, and it just made for some hilarious comedy. And in typical ALN form, we close it with a prank call to a Thai restaurant. Aries does it as Paul Mooney and then as Denzel. Holy shit. You just listen to the end for sure. But you're going to want to because the ep's amazing. Spears and Steinberg is the name of the podcast. Go get it on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, and enjoy it. And tweet at them at Aries Spears Official and at Andy Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, and let them know that you love this episode. All right. First of all, I want to say thank you. We're recording this right now in Denver, or I am rather, where Brad and I did a live ALN podcast last night at Comedy Works downtown with John Heffron and Josh Blue. That episode comes out in a few weeks, and I can't be more pumped to release it, because holy shit, talk about nonstop laughs for 90 minutes. You guys are going to make sure you're not driving when you listen to this live ALN from Comedy Works in Denver, because it was just nonstop, dude. Josh Blue and John's energy was just like at an all-time level, and we came out firing and the crowd was hot. So be on the lookout for that episode in a few weeks. Tour dates this weekend. I'm going to be today. I'm leaving for St. Louis, and I have a show tonight at the St. Louis Helium Comedy Club in St. Louis, Missouri, at Helium Comedy Club. Me, Avery Pearson, Michael Anthony, tonight at 8 o'clock through Saturday. Get your tickets at adamraycomedy.com. Brad Williams is staying in Denver. He'll be at Downtown Comedy Works all weekend. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. At ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at Adam Ray Comedy. Shopadamray.com for all your Adam Ray merch. We got the holiday seasons coming up, baby. Get some presents for your family. Get some Adam Ray hats, some hoodies, some shirts. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present episodes and ALN merch. Our beanies and sweats are still the comfiest things you'll ever wear. Pick them up for the holidays. I'm telling you, you're not going to regret it. So many great eps coming up. Holy shit. Tiffany Amber Thiessen drops Monday. Jason Robert Brown after that. And then we got the live episode. And then we got the best ofs to close out 2018. It's going to be a great finish to the year. So get excited. Stay subscribed on iTunes. Comment on the iTunes page. Leave a 5-star rating. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with your favorite ALN moments, where you get the pod. And we're going to read a few more fan emails on the next few episodes, give you guys a chance to win some merch. All right, now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Andy Steinberg, Ari Spears, myself, Adam Wright, and Brad Williams.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's about last night.
I mean, in your career doing comedy clubs, like, do you feel like there's ever a point to where you're like, You know, just like, maybe I'll just punch this guy and just take the lawsuit.
Oh, we, you know, you talking about in terms of audience or...
Great question.
Or other people, like the behind the
I'm
scenes.
I'm saying like the people that run the club.
Oh, dude, let's dive in.
Let's go. We are recording. We are going.
Goodness, okay. So are we officially recording
now?
Okay.
Yeah.
First off, let me say thank you to the both of you.
Oh, dude, love you.
Because this is my second time.
Yeah.
And of course, I bring company now, and we're going to explain why this is pivotal for us. Because I had for so long been intimidated by the thought of anything, podcasts, radio.
Yeah.
And I've had people tell me, dude, you should do it. You should do it. So finally, I was like, it seems like this is the direction that kind of entertainment is going in.
Yep.
So why not?
Yep. You're also so good on them.
Well, the I don't know about that, but thank you, brother. I'm trying to find my footing. But long story short, we've now started a podcast called Spears and Steinberg. And as we're trying to grow and become successful and more known, we're asking, what's the key to that? And people keep going, you got to get on other people's podcasts.
Yep. Yep.
So I said, let me call in a favor, put the bat signal in the air.
Sure.
Y'all met me on the roof a la Commissioner Gordon. And now here we are.
Well,
so thank you, man.
First of all, you did your first step right, which was the same step I took, is that you got a Jew.
That's always keep one. A Jew in your pocket.
Always keep a Jew. Because
I think I read that book as a kid.
Yeah, because
always keep a Jew in your pocket.
Some of these guys, they build up entourages, and there's never a Jew in the entourage. Mm. You're like, you need that. You need that Jew in the entourage.
And he's 80% pure. The only thing missing is the black men in black suit and the curls.
Oh, man.
But he's Jew, brother. That's Jewy right there.
That's good.
I am the least Jewish person you probably have ever met.
In personality.
In personality.
How did you guys meet?
You know what? I just he had opened for me a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I guess at some point he started becoming familiar. I kept crashing into him.
Yeah.
And he knows. We joke about it. I'm because of the perception that is Ari Spears.
Yeah.
My aloofness gets often taken as assholeness.
Yeah.
And he finally approached the asshole, and things opened up.
That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah,
so, well, that helps for a podcast, especially when you're doing it with somebody else, that you are that open and that you can... You know, the give and take is strong, and that there's like an easy recognition of like, I can kind of say whatever to you and it's going to roll off your back.
And for the record,
I still don't feel that way.
Well, also, that makes for a great podcast.
Yeah.
People want to tune into the angst.
Yeah. And again, I feel like I always have to defend myself because, yes, I am aloof, but it's not because I'm trying to be an asshole. It's just that's just how I came up.
Yeah.
I wasn't one of these guys who, when you see some of these comedy documentaries, you know, they all started out broken, together, hungry in Boston and New York.
Right.
I started when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I wasn't allowed to hang out with the other dudes. I was 14, 15 with a backpack.
Yeah.
Had to do my jokes and get out because of alcohol.
Right.
So I from 14 to 20, I've just been by myself.
So
man.
Your comedy class, like people have like comedy classes, like for Adam and I, it's like me, Adam, Tone Bell, Ben Glebe, Chris Porter, like that sort of our group. Like and like, but you didn't have a class because your class was 6 years older than you.
Exactly.
When you started.
So I was in detention all alone.
you get in trouble as a kid?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
That word comedy, but that you were always making teachers laugh and like.
No, I'm pissing them off.
Oh, okay.
It was I made the students laugh.
Yeah.
To fuck up with. Yeah, they pissed the teachers off, and that was who I was going for, the students.
But was there ever a teacher that like recognized it? That was like, that shit was hilarious. Just fucking. There's a time and a place.
They all called me nigger. I know they called me nigger. I know they called me nigger a couple of times.
By the way, that's a great time for a special.
I had teachers that looked like Mr. Belvedere, and you know, they couldn't stand my black ass, man. I was a monster. Yeah.
Did you go to a school that was predominantly black or
mixed bag of nuts? I just, you know, I was who I was and knew what I wanted to do early.
Yeah.
And strive for attention, starve for it, and didn't give a damn what the consequences and the repercussions were.
Love it.
And there it was.
Well, and that kind of goes back to our original question.
Yes. Didn't I was going to lead to that.
Didn't care about the consequences or repercussions. Have you gotten now, has it gone full circle where in your career where before, because I know that some comedy club owners have said some things to me where I'm like, right, motherfucker, if I had 50 grand more in the bank,
right,
I would tell you to fuck off.
Right.
But I need this check this week, so I don't. And like, so have you gotten beyond that to where now you're like, yeah, I'm gonna tell them to fuck off?
Well, no, I'm trying to get to where I don't tell them to fuck off,
yeah,
because besides the fact that this dark cloud has always followed me,
mm-hmm,
anything that you do or don't do, whether you did it or not, or especially if you didn't do it, stories get exaggerated,
sure,
shit gets blown out of proportion,
sure,
and now this adds to the Aries mystique that is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back there in December, but Toledo, Ohio.
Toledo,
the Funny Bone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to this day, I don't know if you remember the tall white guy, black hair, the guy who...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rick, is it Rick?
We're naming names.
Yeah, it's not Doc, because he left. But yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about, though.
And you know, we were just talking about this as we were coming into the crib, mm, about once you go from bonuses to door deals.
Yep.
And back then I was doing bonuses.
Right.
So it was critical that if motherfuckers was in them seats, yo, pay me my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew this motherfucker was nickel and diming me. I knew it. I could smell it. I know what the fucking room looked like.
Right.
And I basically, in a very cool, calm, Theo Huxtable-like manner, told one of the wait staff, yo, the guy's cheating me. I know he's full of shit.
Yeah.
And that was as far as it went. They turned it into good times. I hit the wall with my fist and said, they're going to pay me my money. They're going to see an angry nigga.
Theo, can't say the N-word as a comedy club owner.
You can't use the N-word. Neither, never.
Only I can use it.
Yeah. So me and Rick already didn't like each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't wait to say that. And what, sure, I found funny was, of all the shit he could have made up that I said,
yeah,
he used an excuse to say nigga.
Oh. Because
that's how he felt. Even if I was mad,
yeah,
that wouldn't have come out of my mouth. So
wow,
that was him making up a story, which he also went, and take this, nigga. Let me put my little spice on this shit. I'm going to lie about some shit you ain't say, but then I'm going to say you said nigga.
There's a fascination I have with, whether it be white comics or just in general white people, that are always looking for an excuse to say that word.
Why is that?
Ain't that right, Paul Mooney? you know them niggas. White people think they're slick, homie. We know what it is. Anytime they get a chance to say nigga, they throw that word in your face, nigga. Even when they say good morning. Good morning, nigga. You know how them crack. Them devils are real. It's real, nigga. It's real.
Hey, Shaq, do you use the word on the court, or did you?
I never use that word. I grew up as a military brat, and my father, he always taught me never say that word, because a man that uses that word is not a real man.
I love that this is a podcast and you still did the eyes.
Yes. I'm full-fledged actor studio method, baby.
I love that. Well, yeah, it's like you go into an impression, you kind of physically...
Yeah, you get caught up in the matrix,
the,
man.
The eyeball pulls on the vocal cord. It's a...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a mechanism.
Oh, wow.
It fucks me up.
I had no idea.
Wait, if I can, and please forgive me,
sure.
And I hope I'm not being some shameless whore, but
no.
I am. Again... It's called the Spears.
Oh, yeah,
and Steinberg. Yeah, I know y'all gonna do it, but I just want to
dude,
because you know
it's better when you do it.
Thank you, sir. Spears and Steinberg podcast available through iTunes. If you got an Apple, if you don't have an Apple product, Samsung, Android, Galaxy, you can go to spearsberg.com or ariespears.com to get access to the
awesome
podcast. And also follow me on Patreon, because Twitter kicked me off, so I'm suspended from Twitter.
How did Twitter kick you off?
Because I battle with Trump supporters. And I go hard in the paint. And this is why my career is in a stall. Because I need to learn when to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So I would call white people them mayonnaise people. But it got deeper than that. I mean, when they would defend their coons to me,
yeah,
and them coon mascots,
yeah,
I would go hard. And enough people reported me, so I'm done.
Yeah, and there's that thing where you always have to keep that sort of in the back of your head where, yes, these people are wrong in what they're saying, but then... You're not going to report Joe Blow from North Dakota,
because
you're a busy man. But
a lot of them make it so easy to throw some shit at them too. It's just like, you know, some of the things that are said. I mean,
And I'm sure a lot of it is they're trying to taunt you. Is they're trying to goad you into it. They want you to blow up.
It was good that you had text me and said, hey, can we push this 15 minutes later?
Yeah.
Because if you hadn't and we had to be on time,
yeah,
we was going to be late because I just basically got gang raped by my manager and agent for an hour and 15 minutes Jesus. About what we need to do to make me over so I can matter
great.
In this wow. comedy game.
Great.
And, okay. and everything from what you just said,
yeah.
you know, Twitter is a blessing and a fucking curse.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if misused, it ends careers.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I was Scarface balcony scene, nigga. So, go give me money, go fuck you, mate. It was time for me to get shot in the back of the dome and fall in the pool. Nigga.
Yeah, I did.
I was.
Were you receptive to the phone call?
It wasn't. What you talking about?
With your agent man?
No, it was a meeting.
A meeting.
Oh, I was in Beverly Hills meeting
great.
With them.
Oh, shit.
And I mean, you know.
Because, dude, you are the one of the most insanely talented dudes in this business. And everybody knows that, you know?
Yeah, all I gotta do is see you live and see the kind of reactions that you
yeah
that
or
you
be around you
in the crowd.
Yeah, I need to figure out how to switch the game up.
Yeah.
And
well, you're doing it with
take this Nat Turner shit off my personality.
But hey, that's something that a lot of people that we could go through a laundry list of names of comics that never figured that out,
yeah.
or mm-hmm. even though they did, they said fuck it, I am who I am, and they weren't ever going to change.
But, you know, my manager has a great saying. And, you know, I hate when he says it to me because it makes you think and you go, God damn it. Yeah. He goes, you want to be rich or you want to be right? And I'm going, I believe in the Patrice O'Neal
yeah.
methodology of you stand your ground.
Yeah.
And somehow I want to believe as like some sort of maverick you can win. But the fact that he's dead now almost kills all that idea.
Yeah.
And I'm just going with political correctness. This country, this comedy game is becoming so moist, and I want to believe that if I stand my ground,
yeah.
I can weather this fucking storm so that when it comes back around, because I believe it's going to come back around.
You think so?
People are going to be like, the nigga never wavered, yo.
Mm-hmm.
He never tucked his tail between his legs and ran.
Because right now it is definitely going towards the era of political correctness where everyone has everything else completely catered to their tastes. So they want their comedy catered to their tastes too. They have their news, they have their shopping, they have social media. Like, so now they want to like, but that's going to swing back.
You think it's going to backfire?
Absolutely. Because people are going to get tired of hearing exactly the shit that they want to hear.
They
want to be tested.
I almost likened it to the Prohibition era.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to be told they can't have their favorite cocktail and drink and get drunk and fucked up and have a good time. So even if people are trying to be sensitive to it, we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't say that. At some point, motherfuckers are going to flip the table over and go, man, fuck this.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how to feel.
Yeah, because that's not how people talk. And so, like, they want to hear that in their comedy. And it's absolutely going to swing back. But to go back to when you engage the people is that my father-in-law told me this saying, and it really kind of stuck with me. And he said, an asshole never thanks you for calling them an asshole. So you can never like go to some guy on Twitter and be like, you know what? You fucked up. You're dumb. You're wrong. And they'll go like, huh? Thank you. Thank you for making that point. I changed my mind. Some people are just so far gone, so far down that rabbit hole that you can't. And if you challenge them, they're just gonna dig in harder.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean,
wait. So when do you episodes? When are they gonna drop for the podcast?
What is it? Every Wednesday. Wednesday.
Yeah. Great.
Every Wednesday.
Awesome.
So good.
Look usually in the
right
morning.
Right in the middle of the week.
Usually nice. In the morning.
And what? And so what can people like? If you were to sum it up, I mean, I know you're just getting going with it, right? And I think just like in comedy and anything, like you find your voice from getting going. But like, what do you guys have that you feel like made you go, all right, we should sit down and start laying these down and showing people?
Well, I'm brutally honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On some Charles Barkley throw niggas out the window shit. Like I haven't. At some point, I'm gonna mellow out like an old Charles and get fat and be kind. And he's still got that edge, but he ain't throwing niggas out the window now.
No, he's not.
No, now he's going.
Now he's like, that guy's a bitch, but I'll hang out with him.
You know? Yeah. Let me tell you something, Cannon Erner.
Yeah, that is.
When in my younger years, like around the Dream Team, when I played with Michael Jordan. Somebody say something to me. You say you. I'm not. You turn another cheek. I'm gonna slap the other cheek. That's how I believe. I came from Alabama. You know, we beat the shit out of horses and pigs.
Charles, how do you say Steve Nash?
Let me tell you something. When Steve Nash was being coached in Phoenix by Mike D'Antoni, they had a lot of great athletes on that team. He always adds syllables to words. It's athlete, nigga, not athletes. I think it's very interesting. Interesting, nigga. Stop. Mike D'Antoni.
Well, and he's a prime example because you would hear those stories about Charles just going to bars, getting hammered, and right. then... You know, people would come up and try to like talk shit to him as a player, and he'd fight him.
Well, let me ask you something. And now that I'm in front of three white guys,
okay,
this question needs to be asked because okay. here's my theory.
Well, we are the spokesman.
Okay, you are in charge. It seems to me like when black dudes who had a history, mm-hmm. or I'll put it like this, when they were young in their prime,
yeah.
at their strongest,
yeah. yeah.
They scare and threaten white people.
Yes.
But once niggas get old, fat, and they don't have that anymore, a la Ali, older, yeah. Yeah. silent, quiet,
yeah.
Barkley, fat, mellowed out.
Right.
Like, niggas ain't as threatening once they ain't at the peak of their powers to white people no more.
Right.
It seemed like Ali becomes loved more by the white community now that he's that Ali and not the brash, young, I'm the greatest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which just makes me think that one day there's going to be a lot of white people going like, yeah, that Colin Kaepernick, what a great guy.
As he gets older.
As he gets older.
Right, yeah. right.
One day it's going to go all around,
that
full
might
circle.
Be a tough one because that whole me shit and the anthem,
yeah.
that resonates deep. And as long as they yep. got that guy in charge in the White House who's fueling this fire.
Yeah.
Now, is that something you guys will discuss on the podcast?
Like, yeah.
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 We try to discuss everything.
Andy, yeah. what's your take on the kneeling situation?
You seriously?
Yeah.
Yes. He should be able to kneel.
Yeah.
But there's not even that's not even a question.
I know.
I mean, mm-hmm. This has already been ruled on during the Vietnam War that you were mm-hmm. that you can burn the flag. So if you can burn the flag, you can kneel in front of the flag.
Yeah.
So I don't even understand why this is a discussion. I don't understand who the people want to discuss this. I mean, it's a peaceful protest.
Mm-hmm. It's a smokescreen.
Sorry,
for
white
folks to say. Yeah.
I do have the answer though.
Damn it, Paul.
If a nigga kneels, he's a kneeling nigga. If he stands, that nigga's standing.
That that toy is not available this year.
Well,
kneeling N-word.
Kneeling nigga is not available.
It's gonna be by Chia Pet.
Oh, so you just pour it on the afro, pops out. Yeah. But to go back to your question, I think you have a good point where I think, yes, I think a lot of white people that aren't exposed and don't have a lot of black people in their lives, yeah, the loud, physically intimidating black man right. does scare them. But then it's like as soon as they get a little older.
Oh, then it's all now.
And he's not weaker.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at all. Oh,
and
cute.
Then if he's older and still trying to be that young guy, but then the white people are like, oh, well, now I can take you. Or right. now you're not scaring me, so now right. I'm going to come back harder at you.
Another example, Mike yeah. Tyson. White folks were scared as a motherfucker.
Because he was talking about eating testicles and
children. Well, I get that part. But I'm saying, I mean, now...
Why is Tyson talking about eating testicles?
I think I just said it that way. Just, yeah. It sounded better
Lennox
to me.
Lennox Lewis? Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. I'm
stomp on your testicles. I remember kids are going to be, you know...
I remember when he said, I'm going to eat your heart, I'm going to eat your children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then maybe a cock after that.
Maybe.
Yeah,
but now, yeah, man, but he's gone full circle. Where now he's on Broadway. He's yeah, feeding cartoons.
One of the greatest jokes to me was when Patrice did the William. What was it? The Sheen roast. Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
And he goes, Mike, I don't like how comfortable white people are in front of you now.
Yeah.
You know, it just it's like, you know, when white people ain't scared of Mike Tyson.
Right.
You know, something's going on.
Yeah, he's crossed that ledge where right. now he's being nicer, kinder,
right.
gentler. The man it did time for raping a woman, and white people are still
well,
just
let
like
me, this. Where I have to get, yeah. jump okay. in for my brother. He didn't rape that bitch. He went to jail, I'm but he saying, didn't rape that bitch.
I said a factual statement that he did time for it.
Right. Okay. Yes. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I believe Kobe was more guilty than Mike Tyson. Yeah.
Shaq, do you think? Kobe or Tyson, which one's more guilty?
I believe Kobe did what he did. That nigga did what he did. That nigga's always been a snake.
Now, are racial issues coming up on your podcast a lot? Where
yeah, yeah? We talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm.
So when something happens in the news, is there like okay, let's get
well, yeah, we try to cover whatever's the hot topic in the news, but yeah. race seems to always seep in somehow, some way.
Yeah.
And here's another thing that intimidates me about the podcast thing, which is why it blows me away that y'all do this. How many episodes have y'all done?
Almost 500.
Yeah.
And y'all do this every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done it. We were doing 2 a week at one point, and then we went back
like
to one.
Staying
because...
fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I look, I think I saw somewhere Joe Rogan with a was it 1,000?
Something.
Episode? Oh, yeah, at least.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm just going.
Well, he does almost 3 a week sometimes.
And 3 hours a podcast. Like,
that's fuck, well, and look, and there has been, somebody even made a clip one time of you know, regurgitated things with certain guests that they'd done or that he had been stoned or re-gone over, and it was like, yeah, rehashed.
See,
but that's like, also they're, in a three-hour show like that you're doing three times a week.
You're going to run out.
I've already come across a couple times. I probably say this on our podcast every other episode. Nigga, dude, I talk about this. Before we get into it, did I say this?
Yeah, but
like, it's just fuck.
But guess what? You're all that moment and that day is always different, so your perspective and point of view is always going to be fresh. And also, I mean, give yourself more credit, man. Both you guys, like, you know, been doing this long enough, you're going to have a lot to talk about. You're going to find that.
But do you feel
guest
like
guest or no guest? Right. Because just having somebody else with you. That's right. Why, like, I'm glad, you know. I've never, even if Brad's been gone and I've done it with just one other person, at least it's somebody else to bounce around with.
And, well, see, that's why, and we haven't done guests a lot, but we've done it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's almost like, holy shit, a new teammate.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's easier. But, you know, I guess my question to you guys is like, at what point when you just keep doing this over and over, do you just go, what the fuck are we going to talk about? And don't you feel like you always, maybe it's because we're new, we feel the pressure to, or at least I do.
That's definitely
score.
What it is. Yeah.
I got to score. I got to say something funny. I got to score something poignant.
You will naturally.
And sometimes I don't have it.
Yeah.
Don't force it. It's
the same thing when you started doing comedy where you're like, I have to kill every fucking time. Now I've gotten to the point in comedy where I can be comfortable when a joke doesn't work because I look at it more like, oh, okay, why didn't that work? Not like I don't take it personally. I know I'm a funny guy. I know I can write a good joke. So why didn't that joke work?
Right.
It's more like an analytical thing.
Right.
So yeah, sometimes we just come in and like we're about to do a live podcast tomorrow, and after this, we got to kind of go through and see what the hell we're gonna talk about.
And there is a
what the hell we're gonna do.
Yeah, and this is like in Denver, so it's like, you know, and Brad and I think, and you know, a big part of it is you try to, like, you know, the cliche saying, like, live a life worth writing about. So it's like we always try to, but then there are times when like neither one of us had maybe traveled for a week or two, and but you know, but then we just, you know, and then we would go to some things in the news or just things that had happened, or I mean, honestly, there's times when like we both have like new bits that we're like trying to work out, and even that is like a story or something we've been thinking about, and we'll just kind of, and then what happens a lot is we sit down and we have a little bullet point of like, oh, let's talk about this, like you just got a when Brad moved into a new house, like we talk about that, and all of a sudden like one thing opens up like 9 different conversations because you're just, you know, a good conversationist like you guys are, so I think you're putting too much pressure on yourself,
and you'll find out that you'll write more, like you'll discover bits through
just talking.
Through just talking and
talking about your day too. Even just up. People want to hear that. They're gonna be coming to listen to you guys and like
really
and finding your like shit, because like there'll be times when you're like, man, we got to be funny every, you know because it's a comedy podcast, and it's like, yeah, but also just like shoot the shit, like people are gonna want to hear you do that, and then like you're gonna be naturally funny in a lot of moments because you can't help it, you know. So trying to think like, oh, we got to make this episode hilarious, it's like we've never done that because we're just like, we can't help but throwing jokes every, you know, 12 seconds.
And people are going to be fascinated, like, what people are going to be fascinated about what your daily life is like.
Yeah.
What does Arius Spears do?
I've hung out with him. It's not that.
Who does he pick with 2K? Does he always pick a black guy, or will he mix it up and pick a white guy?
Yeah.
An NBA 2K?
Yeah.
Nah, I fuck with the Celtics hard, baby. 80 Celtics, Beantown.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Bird, Mikhail,
okay, good.
Ainge.
All right, see.
Come on, baby.
I'd listen to a whole episode on that.
Come on, baby.
I would listen to a whole episode about just who you're going to pick in 2K.
Listen, man.
Because you're with the Celtics, but then Kevin McHale was photographed at a Trump rally. So does that come
Was he really?
Yeah. So does that come into your psyche?
Wow, that's podcast fodder right there.
Isn't it right there? Save it, man.
Can you still pick McHale?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I would still fuck a white bitch to fuck the Klansman. You know what I'm saying? Shit. That's your business, baby. I'm going to look out for me.
Oh, see, goodness. There you go.
Oh, it's
Wait,
just,
Andy, do you play 2K?
No.
Okay.
I don't see, play video so that, game free.
See, that is a, I mean, and like that's something that would be really great to listen to. It's like right. the both you guys coming, like looking at something like that with completely different set of eyes.
I don't have that coordinate. I've never been able to play the games.
Have you ever tried?
Yeah, I'm terrible.
Even basic games like Duck Hunt, you couldn't even knock one of those.
My kids beat the shit out of me every time I play. It's so embarrassing. It's just embarrassing.
Damn.
Well, what's your hobby? What's your thing when you're not on stage?
I don't have a hobby.
You don't have a hobby?
I don't have a hobby. I have a shitty life.
Do you just hang out with Aries, or like, wow, no, how does someone who has fun live?
I raised my two kids. That's all I did. I raised my two kids about 10 years ago. They have hobbies.
Do you help them with them?
Nah, man.
Do their hobbies become your hobbies because you're trying to help them with their hobbies?
Nah.
Do you have attempted hobbies?
Yeah, attempted
great.
Hobbies. Attempted
like what?
Hobbies. I don't even know.
Sometimes I be trying to stoke this motherfucker. So we did an episode, and this was right around the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to talk about movies and shit.
Yeah.
And somehow we stumbled up upon Quentin Tarantino,
mm-hmm.
Which for some magical reason, he has an unrestricted nigga card that he can say nigga 50,000 times in his movies.
He's
but he makes great
guys.
Movies, yeah, so it is what it is.
He does.
But I was, and Andy hates that word so much.
Mm-hmm.
The question I said was, look, as much as you hate saying it,
yeah.
if you got the chance to be in a Tarantino or a Scorsese movie,
yeah.
or you had to play a slave owner,
yeah.
you get major dollars, this is top notch, you right. got the fucking starring role. But you had to say nigga.
Wow.
Sell me on it now. and I used the scene, one of my favorite scenes, the Django.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio is at the table, and he's got Jamie Foxx there, the white guy who's his friend,
yeah.
and then Kerry Washington.
Yeah.
And at one point, I forget how, but somehow he's got blood all over his hands, and he smears her face with the blood, mm-hmm. and he says, and this nigga wench here? And I said, Andy, give me your this nigga wench here scene. Action. And
were you recorded this?
Yes.
Oh, it's on dude, the podcast.
It was one of my best episodes. Because
what episode is that?
Trying to get him. It was one of the early ones.
All right. Okay.
But it was
people
like.
People got to go back and find
right,
that.
Right. He would give a take, and I'd go, I ain't believe it. he was going, this nigga here? I said, nah, nigga, I don't believe.
That's
take 57.
That's the worst. Yeah, yeah. That's the worst if you do finally convince yourself to have the chutzpah to deliver yeah. the line, and then right. it's a bad delivery. Oh, you're like, yeah. God, you feel even worse.
Come on, yeah. right, bro? You got to sell that motherfucker, man.
That's my hobby, getting fucked with by Aries on the podcast. Yeah,
that's awesome. Hobby. That's a great dynamic.
That's how we work it.
Did you do it? Did you say the N word on the podcast?
So
when you run for president, we could go back
and it'll be just that, no context at all. This nigga here. It was brilliant.
Wait, where? So you grew up in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
What part?
I grew up in Tucson, actually.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, no.
I was just there for 3 weeks doing a movie. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, because you knew you were leaving.
Right. Okay. Touche. Where did you find comedy in Tucson?
I didn't start doing comedy until I was 42, so I really didn't find comedy in Tucson. Richard Pryor was like the comic that I grew up
right.
loving.
Mm-hmm.
But there was Laughs. Laughs opened up.
Yep.
And it was always a small club. And like when you grow up in a small, I don't know where you guys grew up, but if you grow up in a small town,
Seattle and Orange County.
Yeah. Okay. So not small towns.
Not small. But if you grow up in that town, comedy is something that you see people on TV doing. It's not like you walk around here and you see comedians. Like if you walk down the street here in LA, you'd see somebody who does comedy. You go by the comedy store, you see comedians.
Yeah.
When you grow up in a city like that, it's like, oh, that's something that people, that you bring those people in. People
right.
here don't do it.
Right.
Mm.
So I never thought that was even a possibility.
Was it something that was always on your mind? Were you always like a fan of it?
Yeah, I loved comedy. I just didn't think that I didn't think that that's what I would do. I had no idea that I was going to do this at all.
What was the thing that finally made you go, fuck it, I'm going to go up on stage?
I think after there was this period in my life where I was around 40, I was 41. I didn't really start doing it until I was 42, and everything in my life was just fucked. I had a restaurant that closed. I had
you were working in, or
I owned part of a restaurant.
Oh shit!
That closed.
Okay.
Rest in peace,
Quiznos.
Yeah.
Right.
My girlfriend, my hot fucking girlfriend, left me.
Jesus.
I'm finishing up my divorce. I had two kids that I was trying to raise, and like, everything fucking sucks. This
most
sounds
guys
like a joke.
Write a country song.
Yeah,
you just had to tell jokes about it.
I can't stand country music, so that comedy was the only other option.
Did somebody tell you that comedy was an option to dig you out of this?
No. I did a contest like 5 years earlier. And so when you're seriously, I was in my house. And I had just sold my house because my restaurant is done.
Oh my
I have
God.
No money. I'm moving into an apartment. I sold my house. I'm sitting on the floor. All my clothes.
Is that why you're holding the sign? Is that why you're holding the sign that says "We'll podcast for
this
food"?
This is like his version of Jew is like a nigga that can't jump. This is terrible.
It was terrible.
This is a bad representation of the Jews.
All of the weaknesses. None of the strength.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously, I was sitting in my house, and that night I was sitting in my house, and I was just going through the things that I actually enjoyed, and comedy came back up, and then I took me about another year before I finally went and started doing it again. Because doing it in Phoenix, you guys have both been to Phoenix.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there's clubs out there, but the scene at that time was definitely a lot different. There was like there was only one club there at the time, and you couldn't go up unless you took their class. Basically, is how it worked. And so it was interesting. It was interesting, but I wanted to do it. And then I don't even know how this happened. I honestly, when I look back at all the things like going, the truth about him, when he said, how did I get hooked up with him? Yeah. He gave me one date, and I went out on the road with him, and he didn't say shit to me the whole time. Okay, so he doesn't say shit to me. And then at the end of the weekend, I looked at him and I go, so is this what you expect from the feature? Just to sit here and you don't say shit unless you talk to me? And he goes, no, man, I'm an adult. If you want to fucking talk to me, talk to me. And that is actually what changed our course of conversation.
Wow.
And let me just say, for the record, to the city of Phoenix, y'all have given me some of the best white pussy I've ever had.
There's a lot of it there.
Oh, hey, my girlfriend comes from Phoenix.
It's uncut cocaine.
Yeah.
And you do have a girlfriend now.
Yeah.
Before, when I first did this, you didn't.
No.
And I was going to ask you, does she listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. You have a girlfriend, so obviously you're a loyal man.
Yeah.
But I have to know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see this poster behind Brad before. And it wasn't like I had to see the poster, but I got to be honest. Adam is a good-looking white man. He just looks like his chest smells good. Every time I see that chest, I just hear the Old Spice whistle. How the fuck it goes. And then I'm looking at the poster, and I remember you were in that movie.
I think we all have to go through that crazy time.
I'm going through it right now.
Oh, good for you.
And I mean, literally, if you've ever heard or known anything about Spanish women, my son and mother, my son and daughter's mother is Puerto Rican Boniqua.
Mm-hmm.
This bitch is Scarface in a skirt. In a fucking skirt, nigga.
And have you met her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. Here's the insanity that you bitches pull.
Okay.
He sees what they all want him to see.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Yeah.
How are you? Do you need anything?
The interview girl.
Yeah, the interview girl.
Wow.
That bitch is a problem, nigga. I mean, so much that the next call you get from me might be, hey, Adam, let me sleep on that shit. You got in your living room. But here's what I wanted to ask you. Because that movie was a good movie.
Yeah.
And you got two blockbuster stars in that movie.
Yeah.
Did anything change after that?
Man, you know what's so funny? I remember Bobby Lee told me as I was getting ready to go shoot it. I was at the Comedy Store. And, you know,
Before you finish that, and here's why I'm asking. Because for the people that don't know Hollywood, all we do is rub our palms together.
Yeah.
Wait for what we think is going to be the one.
That thing.
And you go, you do all the math in your head. Melissa McCartney, Sandra Bullock. Fucking major movie.
I'm on my way. Tom Cruise.
Jerry Maguire. Recently did a movie called Kings with Halle Berry and Daniel Craig.
Dope.
But I'll get back to that. Not dope. So, that being said, were you like, yo, I'm of on course. My way?
Yes, for sure, dude. I mean, I thought that way in 2007 when I booked a guest star on According to Jim with Jim Belushi. So, my frame of reference for what the business was doing was completely fucked. But, yeah, I mean, I thought, so 2007 was the first TV gig. Then 6 years later, Get the Heat. And I was like, all right, cool. I had that whole, like, it's supposed to take some time, and this is the thing that maybe not changes the game, but boosts me up. And what it did was allow me to start headlining comedy clubs, so it changed that.
And what's funny about that is the one of the times I performed at the American Comedy Company in San Diego.
Yeah.
Adam opened for me.
Yeah.
Now, this
yeah.
was before the movie.
Yeah.
So I met you. I was,
right.
But, and I talked to you for a little bit.
Right.
I approached you on a handful of times, but then just like to Andy's point, I was like, I tried to like give somebody space, but also like I'm a big fan and like you seem cool in the few interactions we had. So I was like, I'm going to roll the dice and like try to chum it up a little bit more. Right. And you were receptive.
Right.
And then I like backed away and was like, all right, I'm going to like, you know, close up my tab.
But what was wild is obviously this was before the movie, so sure. I didn't know him at all other than meeting him and him opening for me.
Yeah.
Cut to, I'm sitting in the theater.
Yeah.
I see the movie.
Yeah.
I go, oh, shoot, that's Adam Ray. And then a beat later, I go, I'm finna open for this motherfucker. Open for this man, man.
It's gonna switch.
It's gonna switch.
No yeah. way. Yeah.
And it's just, it's, and going back to the movie, I did. Here's what's crazy. Number one, mm-hmm. the movie didn't even hit theaters. It went Halle straight
Berry and Daniel Craig.
Here's the insanity of this business.
Yeah.
It goes straight to Hulu.
Okay.
Not even Netflix. Fucking Hulu. Oh, Amazon, actually. I'm sorry. Okay. Amazon. And I'm going, Halle Berry.
Yeah.
This bitch won an Oscar.
I know, dude.
This is James Bond.
Right.
Not Timothy Dalton.
No.
Three James Bonds ago.
One of the good ones.
Right now.
Yeah, right now, James Bond. The peak
How
of his powers.
How the fuck does this not come out?
That's that, and that's the insane thing about Hollywood that drives when you hear about people who work in this business going crazy, and you go, oh, man. They're
drinking, doing drugs.
They're just crazy. No. Work in this business.
Oh, man, dude.
It'll break you down to the point where like now when I see comics, actors, dancers, musicians, when I see him go crazy, I go, I get it,
dude. Yeah. I'm telling you, I don't know too many people, and if you can make it through this motherfucker sober,
yeah,
mazel tov.
Yeah,
you're a bad motherfucker. Because I've made a list of all the shit I just know I'm not gonna do. I got my chest out, nigga, my Nat Turner shit. I'm going, nigga, I ain't gonna motherfucker. I'm gonna be who the fuck I'm going. And I'm starting to go. One thing I said I would never want to do, and this is a fucking nightmare, I said I don't ever want to be the TV dad on a Nickelodeon show.
Mm-hmm. Really?
As the comic that I am,
yeah,
the kind of comedy I like.
Well, because then you start attracting a different audience, too, right?
I can't be Rondell Sheridan. I can't be the guy that does the goofy face.
I love that I actually know that reference.
I can't.
Andy, you could.
Yeah.
I could do the TV dad. I'd sell out in a second.
Yeah. until they say, hey, say this line, this nigga here.
I've been rehearsing that my whole life.
Been waiting for this moment.
So, but I'm at this point where you have your wish list of shit you ain't gonna do.
Yeah.
Man, I ain't never gonna play no motherfucking homosexual nigga. And that's big in the black community. Nigga, don't be no fag.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And I'm standing firm.
Yeah.
I got about 2 more years left. Where I start going, nigga, how big is your dick? I'm ready now, to play the like, homosexual. Yeah. Nigga.
Does it have to be the full sex scene? Like, do I gotta kiss you? Like, close mouth, open mouth? What's the thing? Is it Denzel? Who is it? Like,
and you said it. You just said it. This business will break you down
because you just hear no.
Were you
so much
to good things?
What did you? Oh, and here's a kiss. Things. Well, no, here's a kiss of death, and I don't know if y'all have gotten this. But when I go on an audition and I hear, we love you. Yeah. Anytime you tell me, they tell you they love you, that's the kiss of death.
Yeah, you're not getting the part.
One time I did an audition, lady went, that was so good. See you soon.
Yeah, and you're like, so you think, see me soon.
Yeah.
I got this, like, motherfucker.
I'm in.
I'm about to run out there and tell all these other dudes, hey, y'all niggas go home. I got this.
Yeah. I had kind of the breakdown moment. Thankfully, it was just in a commercial audition, so I don't think this will go viral or like end my career. But like on the commercial breakdown, it said, "We are looking for a dwarf, a little person. Must have comedic timing, improv comedy. Must be funny. This is vital." And I walked in the room. And they're like, for the audition, it was like, all right, so we want you to stack, like, fit mime like you're stacking crates. And I just stopped and went, listen. The breakdown said funny, comedic timing, all that. And they're like, oh yeah, but, like, if you get the part, then we'll see your comedic timing.
Right.
And I go, you want a dwarf who's funny? There's 3 of us. So unless Tanya Lee Davis
and let me ask you before
Nick
you finish
Nowicki.
Are any of those 3 is there one who's the top tier in the game, like for Asians, Ken Jeong
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the go-to Asian. Yeah, he is. Bobby Lee hates it.
Yeah. I know, and Bobby's so fucking funny, man. And it's he is though, right?
So like well, and this is after my second Showtime special. So I go, right. I've had two Showtime specials where I am funny. Mm. So like
it ain't enough.
Apparently not, because I didn't get that part.
and here's now that we, this is great because this really feels like an old joke. A Jew, a midget nigga go into a bar.
Two Jews.
But I have
someone has to own the bar.
And I say, because you're.
Welcome to Rosenstein.
Because you're a comic.
Yeah.
It would almost be blasphemous for you to get upset at me saying what I just said.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if y'all said nigga right now, come on, man. Ain't no friendly fire here. We amongst.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you say that because it's been on the tip of my tongue since you sat down.
And I can feel it. I can look at them Italian eyebrows. But you're Jewish, though.
Russian Jew, baby.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
So you passive and aggressive.
He's both.
No, I'm going to fuck you. Let me rape you. Please.
No, but I'm raised by a single mom, so that all gets taken away. All
right. So do you give a fuck, like, when you read? Because I would think that if I read a breakdown.
Yeah.
And I don't know the correct terminology. Sure. But dwarf, anything but little person, which is like saying African American.
Yeah.
Dwarf, midget, that's like saying nigga, isn't it?
To a lot of people. To me, no.
Because you're a comic.
Yeah.
And I'm also just say, and tell them just about the way your dad, like, you know, raised you. Like,
My dad raised me to be funny and to defend myself with jokes. So he says, if someone comes up to you and calls you a midget, that's fine. Just hit him with a joke that's a little harder than that so they know, like, oh. Okay, like this is what's happening here. I don't care about the word midget. If you call me a midget, I don't have to do a midget thing. Like it doesn't have power over me.
What's a midget thing?
That's so fucking funny.
What if that's how it worked? Where if somebody saw you and they go midget, and then you go God damn it, and you blew a whistle and like Skittles fell out of your dick.
Hilarious. A midget. I never heard that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna use that in the sense of you call me a nigga. I ain't got to do a nigga thing.
Yeah.
I ain't got to pull out a drumstick and just start eating it.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Like the word to me personally doesn't have power, but I think for a lot of dwarves and a lot of people in general, they want to have their N-word. They're almost jealous of it.
Are you serious?
I believe that is
100%. I truly think that, like, because no other group has that word that has that much power, where it's like, where, like, you'd be like, well, he called me the N-word, and then it's like, okay, well, now I have to fight you. Mm. There's no other thing. And many people will be like, yeah, you have to fight him now, and you should. Mm. Like, I think a lot of people want that word for them. They want to have that, that they wish they can have that word where, like, it's some sort of psycho shit, man.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't get why they want that word.
Is there a reason that the word is wrong? Is there a definition of what made it a wrong word? Like, because the faggot, you can have.
I would love to hear this.
Yeah,
because
cigarettes and stuff like that.
So is there?
Kindling was why.
A faggot is a bunch of twigs and put together and you light it on fire.
Yeah, that they would burn. So like that or like
the origin of the word means is what makes
kindling.
It wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how does what makes midget wrong?
It kind of goes back to P.T. Barnum days. He sort of not invented the term, but kind of first used it to describe people. So that's sort of where it came from. But I'm like, that doesn't offend me. It's like,
but the reason why nigga, and to a lesser degree, faggot could be seen as so horrible. It's because there's violence behind it.
Yes.
There's a history of violence behind it. There's
evil
no history
intention.
Of violence behind midget.
No one sold midgets. No, you know what I mean?
That you know of.
I mean.
Because that sounds like a secret business.
They rented us out for parties. But no one wanted us in there the whole time.
Yeah.
So I don't get it, but, and I'll have these conversations with other dwarves, and it's just at the end of it, we just gotta say, all right, agree, disagree. Like, I can't convince you that
it
this
seems
isn't a
like
bad word.
And I was thinking when I asked that question about Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is the go-to midget?
Dinklage.
But isn't it the guy from Game
Dinklage.
Of Thrones?
Yeah, Dinklage. He's king.
Well, because he's king. Because he's a movie star too, right?
Right.
He does movies, he does TV.
But guess what, man?
He's king.
You want to go funniest? Like, Come on.
Well, come he doesn't on. Have a Netflix special.
Yeah, but he
that's what I'm saying. Like,
but he can't mime stacking for shit. If he could fucking get past that fucking hurdle.
It was, man, apparently.
But before we leave this wonderful topic, since I'm on it, let me ask Brad a personal question.
I didn't stack funny.
Is there a difference between, and I have to ask in my pimp voice, in case I want to start selling these bitches. Is there a difference between midget pussy and regular pussy?
There's not. I have been lucky enough to experience both.
And which do you prefer?
My wife is tall, so tall. There you go. But no, and this is the honest to God truth. So I had to stop having sex with midget women because the shaved, that's popular. Women are shaved. And I was with a midget girl who was shaved. And I was holding her feet, and I was like, this just feels wrong.
Oh, God.
This just feels, this feels very creepy. Like, there should be hair down there so I can know you're a woman. Like, this feels very wrong.
All right, I'm going to ask one question.
Daddy, would it have just been over?
Oh, yeah. Like, if I kept an erection, that there would have been something wrong with me. So I would have been worried about
test.
Yeah, I would have been worried about myself.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I needed to be that guy. Like, can you just grow a little bit?
All right.
Wait, what's your follow-up?
And I want to let you know, if at any point before we're done, Brad, if you have any insult, no matter how horrendous, you want to throw at me, please feel free.
Because I think before this is your N-word free card.
It really is.
I'm not gonna put that on tape.
But because before I get off this, I want to address one more thing. And again, because you're a comic.
Exactly.
Oh, knock on wood. I know you're not going to get upset, but I've always been curious about this shit, but I've never had the personnel to ask.
And Brad's the best person to ask because you got rapport.
You say your girl is tall.
Yeah.
And you are who you are.
Yeah.
I would imagine you can't do a 69 because if she's sucking your dick, ain't no pussy near your navel.
See? That is a misconception.
Really?
Yes. See,
look how excited Henry's got.
This is informational, nigga. Yeah,
it's like you saw the birthday clown reveal that he was also like a janitor.
Dude,
like,
I'm not trying to just strictly go for funny.
No.
I really want to know. Because I've been picturing this shit going, she's a ding.
And since he's walked in, he's been picturing
it. Got to be near the nigga navel. So unless you can do a hell of a sit-up, there's no way you're getting that pussy.
By the way, this is why your podcast is going to be great, because this genuine curiosity, keep that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
It's gonna keep going. No, because I will explain. Like, you and I are sitting in the same style of chair. Mm-hmm. Your chair is not higher than mine. My chair is not higher than yours. Mm-hmm. We are making eye contact right now. We are sitting at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
All right? My type of dwarfism... And there's types. That's a whole nother topic. You know, because you have me, and then you have Vern
Troyer.
White
people, why can't you understand my type of niggaism? Go ahead. There's a different type of niggaism.
Yeah, exactly. It's different. So my type has an average size torso.
Right.
So this is the same size. Right. So 69, we line up. Now my legs and arms aren't flailing around, you know, or I can't, you know, I'm not grabbing ankle. Like, I can't do that.
Right.
But everything else lines up.
That is some shit.
Everything else lines up.
There you go.
Wow.
I know, right?
Yeah. So
that's a new kind of math, nigga.
Were you checking for goosebumps?
Dude, this is intriguing to me, nigga.
I know it is. I love this because some people are like, are you offended? I'm like, no, because now I'm
so when do you talk about it?
Because now I'm telling someone.
Do you know how
now
crazy
you know.
It would
someone
be
cares.
If you are offended? But because I know I'm treading new territory here.
Sure.
I'm still going...
Yeah, which is the right move.
Right.
It's all about intent,
and
you know?
It's all intent and heart. And I may have told this to you,
right.
But my first time...
Because I'm going to let you know, as you finish that, go ahead. I'm going to let you know some shit about me to even the score.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
That's fine. My very first time that I got to showcase at the Laugh Factory, I brought four of my friends with me who happened to be dwarfs. Right. And you either stop by.
The first time you showcased?
Yes.
Was that a power move?
So like, past the open mic to where you're like, okay, are you going to get past
where
the
Jamie's
regular?
Like, come back, buddy, and like, we'll see. Yeah.
Yes. So, first time I bring four of my friends. You go on stage.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you were like running a set for something or if you were like, or for whatever reason.
Well, he always just threw on like great comics just to mix it up so people weren't watching like
these
showcases.
That's right. Yeah.
In case they were dog shit.
Yeah. And, you walked up on stage and you looked down and it's like the open mics. It's not a big crowd, and then you saw my friends and you just got this look on your face like, and the first thing you said was, "Why'd you have to sit them in the front?" And I was in the back like I was happy. Love I still it. Had that comic mentality.
Yeah.
Right.
My friends at the end of the night was, "Did he have to?" I'm like, "Yes, he had
yes,
to.
He had
oh,
to.
Shit.
There's 12 people in the club and 4 of them are dwarves.
Oh, man.
This is not a normal thing. It would freak me out if I walked on stage and there were 4 dwarves in the front row that right. I didn't know.
Yes.
That right. I, you know, so I just think it's funny that it's all come full circle.
Well, let me let you know, as a black man.
Yes.
My two biggest embarrassments.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got a big dick. My shit is not major.
Yeah, but what?
I'm alright.
Yeah.
But and if
now comparative to the black dick standards, oh, like what
yes,
are we?
Yes.
And by the way, what,
and I can't cross a nigga over. I suck at basketball.
You should open with that. That's the bigger deal.
Now, has there been a situation where the woman sees it and goes like?
No, no. It's not in, like small. Like okay. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But. I mean, come on, man. Of all the things we possess
right.
in terms of stereotypes
right. sure.
or truths, because
yes.
that's the truth.
Yeah.
God damn. Like, what a disappointment, nigga. Like, if I could cross a nigga over and fucking get a, be a bit, have a dick.
Yeah.
What?
Wow. Well,
yeah.
Well,
and that,
you can in 2K, you know?
Yeah.
And Andy, you gotta play right, this game, man. It's right. a fantasy living.
You lost the two reasons why it's good to be black.
Absolutely. You know, you think I like that shit? I would rather have Jew money and a short dick than a big black dick and be black broke.
Wait, Andy, did you know this about him, or is this like the first time?
No, I didn't know about the crossover. He says, now he says,
that's the most awkward shit ever. Yeah. Nigga, I ain't know about your basketball, but I've been knew about his dick.
He's addressed it on stage before a couple times.
Okay.
where he says that it isn't, you know, but it, well, it, but are you going by porno style black dick or
great question?
I'm just saying.
Which,
no.
What is? What see, is that, by the way? Because I can't Aries. Right now envision black porno dick. What
oh,
is
I
that?
Can.
What?
I
saw,
it's like 15 feet, right?
I saw a video the other day, and he goes, "I'm going to give you all this 14 inches." And I saw this white girl take the 14 inches, and I thought to myself, that white girl isn't in my... I couldn't have that girl.
Well,
anyway.
She's not alive anymore. Yeah.
No. She took it like a champ. I was
wow.
like, you That's are impressive.
Enough. Yeah.
You are an impressive woman.
So... So here's
that's
something
all Jews do is watch black porn and go, God, someday.
Someday.
I'd love
someday.
To know what that's
if
like.
If I could just get enough money and figure out how the operation's going to work.
Get a crossover.
Here's
I'll get a crossover
crazy.
And a black dick.
Here's something crazy. I have an average size dick, but people assume it's going to be small. So when they see that it's average, they're like, fuck yeah.
Wouldn't that be
they're
some
very
shit
excited.
If, wouldn't that be some shit if his dick was bigger than mine?
It like...
I would
oh my God.
Kill myself.
Can we call pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Following McGregor, Mayweather, Spears, Williams.
That would actually make a great skit. It's to actually off. Document all the drama leading up
to the dick.
Leading
up to it.
Oh,
my God. That's one of those fake 30 for 30s for like
Fire
or Die or something.
Are you
we should maybe
me?
Write that.
Guys training, trying to hang weights from it and shit. but see, then you have the opposite problem where you have an average dick, but then on a black guy, it's like, aw.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Fuck.
But maybe it really is an average. Maybe it's small.
No, it's not small. Damn, I let you do that shit. It ain't small, nigga.
You trying to talk yourself out of a podcast job?
It ain't small, nigga, but it ain't that wood that you go, this is why old white men hung niggas. It ain't that wood.
Retin.
And that's the answer to the earlier question, why white dudes ease up when it's an older black dude because they can't pull the white ass the way they
can't
could when
fuck
they were young.
Woman.
There you go.
This is why doing the podcast is going to be great for you guys, too, because there's so many things that Brad and I discover, like, literally in every episode about each other just shooting the shit about stuff, you know,
even
like,
still now
dude
really?
Even 500 eps almost in it's that and that's why it's great
that is
because
crazy.
And you even if it's one little thing dude it and whether you acknowledge or not live on air like you pocket it and you go oh man that's why you know if you're going into the episode a little trepidatious about like man I don't know if we got enough content like we're you know what we're going to talk about but then like those things pop up and you go oh yeah man we just got to get in front of the mic
can I ask a numbers question
yeah sure
where are y'all in terms of popularity or in terms of how do you know
we're in the top 100, which is good. Yeah. But they're saying, look, man, there's now.
I mean, it's in a sea of millions. That's,
it was, and it was higher than that. But then you get like, you know, once guys, you know, like Chris D'Elia just, you know, just popped in with a podcast. So it's like he goes in with a million Instagram followers, and then you start a podcast. Yeah, you're gonna be in the top ASAP. So a lot of those type of guys, have definitely jumped the charts. One.
Yeah. Oh no, I did Shaq. So I did a call in.
Shut the fuck
up. Yeah, from Atlanta. He does his from Atlanta.
Did you do some Shaq on Shaq?
Yeah, you know, Shaq has told me, and he said it, and what's so funny is, you know, because he's on Inside the NBA on TNT, and it's TV,
right,
and the guests are in their face,
right,
they got to be politically correct.
Yes.
And as a guy who does impressions, it pisses me the fuck off. When I had to sit there and watch, and let me back up. Are we recording this? Because I want to put it. No, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
I want to put a disclaimer on this.
Okay, good.
Because again, this is what fuels the fire of Aries is an asshole.
Okay.
I do not have a problem with Jay Farrow. I think the man is brilliantly funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I envy him because he does impressions I wish the fuck I could do. Mm. But I'm a stickler for accuracy.
Yes, dude.
You know, Eddie Murphy was accurate. Yeah. He, you got lost
was
in
that
his.
Guy?
Oh, it was everybody's guy.
Yeah.
But certainly, everybody. But. When I sit there and I watch Jay Farrow and Kenan Thompson on Inside the NBA on TNT, and they do Chuck and Shaq, and it's the most horrific impression. First of all, Kenan don't sound shit like Charles Barkley. And Shaq
He can't do a voice that's not his own. That's just how it is. And
you know. Here's Kenan Thompson's Bill Cosby. I'm Bill Cosby.
Yep.
But let me get off that.
Yep.
Shaq, I could even tell he was starting to get to Shaq, because here's what Jay Farrow would do. He would make this person do Shaq Hill on him.
Yeah.
And it was
cartoony.
So, it was so over the top.
Yeah.
That Shaq even said during the commercial break, why do you make his face like that? So.
Whoa.
So when Shaq, I called into Atlanta to do the podcast, and Shaq said to me on the phone, he goes,
yo, let me tell you something, man. I've been knowing Aries since the 90s. yo, he do the best motherfucking me of anybody that's ever done me.
And yeah, of course I exaggerate, because it is a little off the eye.
Yeah.
But it ain't this shit.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Shaq gave
me the compliment.
Yeah.
And I almost wish he could have said that then.
Yes.
On when Kenan and Jay was there.
Yeah.
But he had to be politically correct.
Sure.
And they even did a thing where I guess they were doing an NBA on TNT / SNL special.
Yeah.
And they did a poll. Who does the best Shaq?
Mm.
Jay was mentioned. Kevin Hart was mentioned. Who else?
Halle Berry.
Somebody else jokingly tried. I wasn't even on the list.
What?
And I'm knowing how Shaq feels about my impression of him.
Yeah.
And when you go on YouTube and you see the comments, yo, where the fuck is Aries? How y'all say Aries does the best?
Oh, that's awesome. That made you feel good, right?
Yeah, it made me feel good. Bittersweet.
Bittersweet,
But I'm just like...
Yeah, that'd be like the fans being like, who does the best John Madden and Frank Caliendo isn't on the list? And you're like, that's the guy.
And this is why I say, when you, and we said this earlier, let's go back to it.
Hmm.
When you go, people don't understand this business.
Yeah.
And here's what we get labeled as a lot, especially me. Aries Spears is bitter. He's angry. You goddamn right. I've been fucking with this job for 20 years. Don't give me no gold-plated watch, nigga. I want a management position. My blood, sweat, heart, and tears in this shit.
Yeah, man.
Now, I'm not saying I want my chest to be out and I want y'all to kiss my ass and bow to the king. I ain't on that shit.
Yeah.
But can I get some respect, man?
Yeah, man.
Man, you.
I think you got it more than you.
You almost went to like the full DMX impression.
Yo, dog, this shit is real. You know what I mean? It's fucked up. Nigga been in the game since a pup. I've been barking. I've been biting. Nigga want to eat. I want to eat. I'm hungry. You know what I mean? You gonna feed a nigga? I'm gonna take it by force. Duct tape your mom's where the safe at. I'm just saying, man. Damn.
Do you remember last time?
Like, why is that so wrong?
Yes.
Why is this so wrong for a nigga to want his due?
Just that, and that's all. And
come on, man.
Like you say, you don't want the gold plated Maserati.
Don't give me the bullshit.
You just want your due.
Damn!
Just let DMX speak for you. You shouldn't say no, shit. No,
DMX been speaking through me, but through Aries' voice.
Yeah, don't let Aries' voice do it anymore. Yeah. Just DMX.
God damn, man.
Send DMX.
Well, this podcast is a good start for you guys. You know what I'm saying? And it's like to get you, like, because consistency, I feel like, in this business is so key at this point.
Right.
And to be putting consistently funny shit out. That's also going to, like, I don't know, just have it to look forward to. You'll find, too, like I mentioned, like, about having stuff to talk about. Like, you're going to want to go out of your way to do certain things that maybe you didn't before because you're like, oh, that'd be good podcast material. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's a great benefit. Like, there's definitely been things that Brad and I have done together and separately that we've, you know, just been aware of, like, oh, yeah, that'd be, if I do that, like, and I maybe don't want to, like, but I can talk about this experience on the podcast. Right. If I'm thinking there might be some... you know, some things that we don't have enough material to talk about, you know?
Right.
Do you remember last time when you did the podcast when you called
the Asian restaurant?
Yeah.
And I got a lot of good phone calls about it. A lot of people like that. A lot of people love that.
When we do close out, which will probably be about, like, you guys are getting another 15 minutes?
Nigga, you got liquor. I'm here.
Okay, good.
Lead to the bartender, say we shut.
Yeah. I love it.
But I think we close it with him calling as Shaq. DMX, you did it as DMX,
Which
DMX was unbelievable. Like, I'm telling you, like, and by the way, we have this a buddy of mine that animates a lot of the clips from the podcast,
which is something we're on the cusp of trying to do now.
Oh, you
which
gotta
is
to
animate
that.
A section. Let me see if I can do this without giving it away because it's dangerous.
You can tease it or not.
I was dealing with a situation a while back where I felt like. I don't feel like I know I'm being extorted.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I can't get into the details,
but
it pissed me off so bad that I was fantasizing in my hotel room about what if it was an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie clip where he fucks the system that fucks the little guy. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, Frank did it. Pablo Francisco, the movie voice.
Yeah.
In a world.
Yeah.
So I'm going through that, and of course, later it's Arnold. Come on, get back. I'm fucking the system for fucking me. So so we're going to animate this piece and put it out there.
Yes.
Which I think will, you know, maybe give us some sort of boost.
Fuck it. No, and that's the thing, too, is like you got to think of other ways. There is so much shit out there that, like, you got to find ways to get things.
Get above the noise, man.
Yeah. And get caught up. But there's. I'm having my buddy animate that phone call, the DMX one. So. I'll get that to you too, and you can just, like, you know, blast it onto your guys' channel and everything.
And if you're like, if you're still not sold on these guys' podcast, I'm sold on this episode. And I went back through the website, episode 14. In this episode, Aries and Andy discussed 35 questions black people have for white people.
Yes.
I'm in.
I'm
sold. Just that one right there.
And let me piggyback on Mr. Williams here. Again, y'all. Spears and Steinberg is the podcast available through iTunes or go to Spearsberg, SpearsBerg.com or my name, AriesSpears.com for all your other availabilities on your Samsung, your Galaxy, your Android. And one more again, Patreon. Follow me. I'm no longer on Twitter. My Instagram is AriesSpearsOfficial, Facebook AriesSpears, but Patreon. I get paid from that. Put some money in a nigga pocket. I'm going through a second divorce with this bitch, and shit's getting real.
Now you did the DMX voice, and I'm very I'm very curious about something because, and I don't want to be like that guy that's like, music was better back in my day, but
you know, I'm that guy.
Shit, the rappers now. Like, yes, just
terrible,
like,
isn't it?
The rainbow hairs and the face tattoos.
The moisture is real.
And all of that. And I'm just moist, like, come baby. On. Like, we need some Nas. We need some Jay-Z. We need some
Jadakiss. Some Biggie.
Fuck.
We coming up in the worst era ever.
I mean.
It is, right?
It's like.
Worst era ever.
Kendrick Lamar is doing anything he can.
Yeah.
With the exceptions of a J. Cole, a Kendrick Lamar, a David East.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how fucked up the game is now. You ready? You got young kids going, Eminem's garbage.
Oh, what?
Young kids think Eminem is garbage.
Oh, because Machine Gun Kelly had a feud with him?
I don't know if that's it, but whatever they've heard recently from M, and I've heard some of our generation go, it ain't his strongest work.
Of course.
But compared to what?
Right. Compared to mumble rap?
And I always said the Tekashi 6ix9ines, the Lil Xans, these motherfuckers look like villains in a Tim Burton Batman movie. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, nigga.
Like, like when you think, like, as a white kid from Orange County, I would listen to DMX, it's Hot in Hell is Hot, or yeah,
right,
that, and just like Dark in Hell is Hot, and yep. and I was just like, fuck, like, I, that was my look into a different lifestyle that, right, I did not know, and I could understand it. And when I would hear his raps, I can go, okay, that's why certain people are angry.
Dude, imagine in comedian terms.
Yeah.
We build our reputation and our respect off of what we say, yeah, material-wise.
Yeah.
Imagine if the game went that way where it was like, nah, it's gimmicky. What's your gimmick?
Yeah.
And skills didn't matter.
Right.
I tell anybody, if you a diehard rap fan, if you certainly from my era, the 90s, mm-hmm, and your 40s,
yeah,
or if you're a young kid coming up, here's the difference. Nas has a song, had a song called Rewind,
mm-hmm,
where he raps an entire story backwards.
Jeez.
And when you listen to the flow being spit backwards,
yeah,
and you think about it forward, it makes complete sense. It tracks. I have burst and burned brain cells,
yeah,
trying to write a rhyme forward. This nigga did it backwards.
Yeah.
And then listen to Biggie's Niggas Bleed.
Damn, just the
way he tells that story.
Yeah.
On the Life After Death album, the second one.
Yeah.
The melody and the music, the picture he paints, you're literally watching a scene in a Scorsese film.
Yeah.
The way the music flows in the scene and,
right,
skills.
Yeah, and
they don't have that no more.
That took time. That took thought. That
are you
took
kidding?
Insane planning and
come
skill.
Come on, man.
You know, it wasn't just putting something out to just keep relevant. Like, oh,
right,
shit,
right,
I haven't written a new song in three,
right,
days.
Right.
I got to release something.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. It's music is garbage
and,
now, man.
Yeah, and I'm not even into hip hop the way a lot of people are. I just like it, but
right,
fuck.
But how old are you?
34.
All right, but you came from,
mm-hmm,
that time where, mm-hmm, shit was in its prime.
Yeah.
It was
Snoop,
it was almost
Dre,
like the
Pac,
80s and the, yeah, 90s of basketball.
Yeah.
The golden era Bird, yeah, Magic to,
yes,
the,
right,
most dominant era Jordan.
Yeah.
That's where rap was at that time.
Yeah.
Now it just,
I
don't think it's either like one of those things where you're like, it was better in my day. It truly was.
No, listen, like, I always say, and I know every older generation goes, in my day,
of
we
course
were better.
I know.
And I think we even talked, we had an episode about this on the podcast about decades.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can tell me the roaring 20s was the shit.
Yeah.
You know,
sorry, Myrtle.
Get the fuck out of here. Right.
Those were the tunes I fucked.
Right. The most naked a bitch got in a magazine or on, yeah, the beach was some shit that went from her knees,
yeah,
up to her neck.
Yeah. They called it bathing costumes.
Costumes. Yeah. Get the, yeah, fuck out of here.
Nah, you can't be
come
like
on, man,
the 20s, man.
Come on, man.
That's when it was popping.
I always said, and I asked him this question, if you could relive any decade, ooh, which would you live?
Great
and
question.
And I said, for me, I would, yeah, love to be a man in his 20s and the 70s.
Mm.
AIDS-free sex.
Wow.
A little bit of cocaine.
A little bit.
The music was,
yeah,
the shit.
It's unbelievable.
The clothes a little funky.
Yeah.
But other than that,
also taking a turn towards the 80s. So even just to see what that was like.
What?
Yeah.
You know?
What? To see Ali in his prime?
Wow, yeah, dude.
Oh, come on.
Magic in his prime.
To see like ABA.
Are you kidding me? Dr.
Style
J
basketball
with the afro?
When the rainbow colored ball.
Right. Like, mm-hmm, and you can understand, yeah, from my perspective why I can't say the 60s. Yeah, this shit was rough. So I wouldn't want it. And anything further puts me in jewelry, nigga.
It took me a second, but when I got it, fuck,
jewelry. So, you know, from the 70s and the 80s,
yeah,
that was the sweet spot.
Yeah, that's pretty,
yeah,
solid. Yeah,
yeah.
Because then when you get like late 80s, then it starts getting like hair metal and some flamboyant stuff.
But even
then,
that was cool because I was born in 75.
Yeah.
So I'm an 80s baby.
Okay.
But I was in my prime,
yeah,
in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan.
When, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's the AIDS scare. So now everyone's like, oh.
It was, but again, this is on the birth, on the, yeah, cusp of the internet.
Yes.
And here's what I will give this generation. Mm-hmm. Technology, nigga.
I know.
Yeah.
The technology now is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, what you can do, a computer in your hand called a phone.
It's bonkers.
Where you could do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how much porn I watch, nigga, in the open?
I was going to say at the airport, how much you watching pre-flight?
What? Come on, man.
Yo, how did you... Were you receptive to the Mad TV reboot and jumping on board with that?
Was I receptive to it?
Because I'll tell you how it was for me.
Well,
a treat to be around you for that and to at least do it. I've obviously discussed my views on the way that whole thing was handled. But for you, I want to know.
All right. Well, and this is a moment of honesty.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come off like that.
You should send out a representative.
Yo, Ed, let me tell you niggas how it was.
See, that would have been a great sketch. You playing yourself in DMX, right, playing your lawyer. And some.
Yeah. Yo, Your Honor, this nigga ain't do that shit you said he did. When the shots ran down, the nigga hid. Then he slid. He shouldn't have to do a bid.
CW be like, whoa. Too much barking.
That was the note.
Yeah.
I felt bad for y'all, man. Mm-hmm. I felt bad for
Thanks,
y'all.
Thanks, man.
And here's why.
Yeah.
Because immediately from the gate, y'all wasn't getting a fair shake.
Yeah.
Number one, you're coming out on a Tuesday night at 9:00.
Yeah.
Which means you can't be as wild and as ruckus as we were.
No, not even close.
That's not even close. So
love that you said that, man, because that was my, like, you know, it's one of those things where I went through such a rigorous audition process and got it, and I was so fired up. And then when I saw that, I go,
the clamps was on y'all from the beginning.
Yeah, man, and I tried to not think about that, but, like, God damn it. That is time slot, you know?
That time slot was, you were doomed. Second, and again, I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm being honest. We were a tough act to follow, dude.
I know. Yeah.
Like, when that cast, there was a block in time between season. Because here's the thing.
You did how many seasons?
14. Yeah. I did 8. But the first 2 seasons, the show hadn't found itself yet.
No.
But between Brian Callen and the cast they had, boom.
Yeah.
But then, you know, by season 3, Callen had left, David Herman left, Artie left. So the show was trying to reestablish itself.
Yeah.
Then once you got Will, me,
Mo,
Alex, Mo came season 4.
Okay.
But even then, season 3, we were strong.
Was Mike there?
Not yet. He came season 4.
Wow.
So once Mike came, Mo came.
Wow. Bobby
was much later.
Okay.
And by that time, the show was starting to decline.
Gotcha.
But between season 3 and 6, we were a well-oiled machine. And I mean, we were an all-star team, and we was killing. So much so, I used to get my car washed on La Cienega and near the Beverly Center. And I remember fucking Will Ferrell sitting there. I go, yo, Will, man, I don't want to bother you, dog. I just want to tell you. He goes, dude, I know who you are. You guys come on a half hour before us, so a lot of us are in the makeup chair watching y'all. You motherfuckers are insane.
Wow.
And plus, because we didn't have the... aura of SNL, the network didn't pay attention to us.
Yeah.
So we kind of could get away with shit under the radar. So we went there.
But at the same time, I love that of that era going, no, we're coming at SNL.
There's same no way Mad TV then gets done today.
Right.
Yeah. No way.
Well, I mean,
the shit we
case
did,
in point, man.
Oh, dude, we did a skit where... Will Sasso was playing Louis Anderson, and we were doing the Family Feud.
Hi.
And it was the
right.
Right.
And top 5 things you bring to a picnic. Yeah.
And the families were called the Craggers versus the Miggers.
Are you
kidding me? And I forget what he asked, but you know how he asked the question, and the family gives they think is an answer. Right. And he said, name something terrible that white people have done to black people. And one of the white family members goes, slavery.
Yeah.
He goes, slavery. Good answer. Some of us miss it. Show me slavery. I mean, just
the shit
we did back then, dude.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Not even
Not even close, bro.
Who knew, who recognized that you guys weren't getting watched by the network?
We all did. Here's how.
Because in the writer's room, you would like talk about, man, that'd be so funny. Anything you thought of, you like, we can do it.
We didn't even have to go with that. all we had to do was go with the news lead-in because the news would lead us in. So as soon as the 10 o'clock news was done, the anchor would go, all right, and that's it for tonight. And up next, Mad TV. Nigga, we had Susan Sarandon on.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani.
Guest of this podcast.
Jay-Z. Yeah. Oh. Fucking Kathy Jay-Z. Bates.
Oh, my
God. Dennis Hopper. And not one
time. We had Ian Ziering.
And not one time did the news anchor, not one time did the news anchor go, and ladies, stay tuned for Mad TV with special guests. How do you not mention Susan Sarandon?
Right. Fuck, they didn't say that as a lead-in?
All they just gave us was, that's the news, next up Mad TV. We had some of the biggest heavy hitters in Hollywood.
Do you know how many people would have watched for Sarandon alone?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
Just to see what she's going to do on that comedy show.
So you did what you did without any help.
No help, no promotion. The network never promoted
it. It's funny, by the way, that even with an all-star cast and like, I mean, yeah, dude, it's not even close for me to recognize how stellar. I mean, I felt like we had a cool group, but again, comparably, like just rock stars, but we didn't get any promo either.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, but for something like that to happen on
that
spot.
And that was the other thing. Mm-hmm. Y'all got no promo.
Do you know how many people, friends of mine that I would tell that were in the business? You would think like people back home that like are just removed for anything. They're just like, they need an extra reminder sometimes. But people in the business, I feel like had their finger on the pulse more or less.
They should know.
So many friends that were just like, oh, you're on that? And then they go, that's already been out for, oh, I missed it.
Here's
like,
what's crazy. I would tweet people, they're doing a Mad TV reboot. And a couple people that didn't even know I tweeted it heard about it and went, yo, I heard Mad's doing a reboot. When is it? Oh, it came and went already. They ain't even see it.
Yeah, they didn't even know about it.
It came and went like a thief in the night.
Yeah.
But how did you like even just being back on like set and around it all? Like,
I loved it. I loved it. I wish it could have been more where... because they did it in sections.
I know.
All the veterans came and did pieces with the new people. I would have loved if we'd have just had one night where all the veterans came together with the new people and just meshed all that one night.
Yeah.
And with a no holds barred, balls to the wall comedy. Yeah.
In a live taping, right?
Live tape. Yeah, both. Yeah. Pre-tape and live.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe over a couple days.
It should have just never left. It should have just been. Because,
but it ran its course.
Yeah.
It just ran its course.
I would just hope that. Like SNL has its up years and its down years and it comes back or something. Right. I would hope that eventually like Mad would have like come
on
back.
If they would have stuck with it, because everything is the ebb and flows.
Yeah.
But so much of the strong cast left, a lot of the strong writers left.
Yeah.
And the Titanic was sinking.
So you got
to
cut
it off. So they had to cut it off. Yeah.
I understand.
So you guys on the road right now?
Yeah. We usually do every week together, but these last 2 weeks, it hasn't worked out that way. So
right, but that's another benefit, right? So that is like going to be a staple more or less.
Us being together.
Yeah,
because it becomes a lot of pressure when we know we're not going to work together because then we have to try to cram in extra episodes to cover the time.
Yep.
And I like what he said. One time we were supposed to work together, but we couldn't. And I think I was in Hartford, Connecticut, and he was somewhere else. And he said something to me about, I was like, Andy, I missed you. Because like in any relationship, when someone goes away, absence makes the heart.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was like, yeah, man, this other guy I'm working with, he ain't you, dog. And he was like, yeah, I'm sorry, Aries. I had to go get me some side comedy. Yeah, so, you know.
That's amazing.
It's nice when you can come back together. Like absolutely. I just did 2 weeks in a row, one at Dayton, Ohio, which was a complete shit show. And then I went to Port Charlotte, Florida. And that's where
DMX
that
should
is
say this.
Trump country. That is everything's is really? By the harbor. So it's old, rich, stiff, conservative white folks, women who chest look like alligator stomachs. It's just that dead flesh. And it was
how do they take to you?
It's one of those things where they like you because you're not what they're used to.
Yeah.
And you give them a glimpse into
the world.
This is what niggas world is like.
As if it's a theme park.
They can't laugh. They feel uncomfortable to
laugh.
Wait,
by the way, do the teaser or the employee video for what you just said, world.
The nigga world?
Yeah.
Oh,
because I said it sounds like a theme park for rich white people that I've never been to.
So come on down to nigga world, where you too can get all the privileges of fear without the consequences. But it was one of those things where I would do my shit and you could tell they wanted to laugh.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But they were so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the only way they would laugh, you had to call them on being uncomfortable.
Right.
Because at one point I was like, look, folks, I get it. This is Trump country.
Yeah.
Y'all are white, super sensitive, conservative. And the room I was working was like this tall shit with all these beams. Mm-hmm. And I went, I'm sure some of y'all right now got niggas hanging in your backyard. And you're looking up at them like, you know what? Should we cut them down? You know, fuck it. It's Christmas. Leave them up.
It's Christmas.
It's an ornament, nigga. We'll take them down after the new year. Like, so loosen the fuck up, because I'm saying what I know you motherfuckers already feel.
Yeah.
Let's quit the bullshit.
You drop any Jay-Z on them? Did they...
No, man, no, I know they ain't.
You just can't. You just don't even. Is that a bummer for you or no?
Not really, because I'm more than a one trick pony.
I know you are. I know you are. But I mean,
I don't have to do that. But and I don't lean on that. But what sucks is when you do a bit that you know should get some.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That bit is so tried and true and amazing. So I'm wondering if you're like.
I didn't do that, but I did other things where when I got. When I'm used to getting. It almost throws your timing off, because you're like, I don't start my next joke till after 18 seconds of laugh.
I'm pausing for laughter right
bitch,
now.
You giving me a now you throwing my timing off. Like it just
I've been there.
Sucks, man.
And are there any impressions Aries does that you're ever like, oh, I have some like some tips for that? Like, do you ever?
Fuck no. No. He, honestly, because when you watch him do his impressions, and he doesn't do them on the road as much as he used to, he really has taken them pretty much out of the act. There's only a few things that he does. But
well, dude, that's always just been like a bonus.
It's and I told him on the way here, it's just I've done them. Like my last special, Hollywood Look, I'm Smiling, the one before The Blueprint.
Yep.
I did them all.
Yeah.
So I was like, unless I got another fresh take, I don't want to do the same.
Yep.
Ones.
Yeah.
So it's like I didn't do Stallone this last one, so I do Stallone and then I do Jason Statham. But other than that,
Statham.
But that
of course.
I want to hear Statham having lunch with Statham at a McDonald's. And once Brad, you Statham picked this as a location, and there is your Statham, you thought you guys were gonna go somewhere else and now you're meeting here, and that's how it opens.
Hey, Jason, how are we doing? Hey, look at here. Thanks for meeting me at lunch here at McDonald's.
Oh, you call this lunch? Hey, look where we're at.
Hey, look around, man. You got kids playing in the tubes.
Fuck the kids. I want to go to Burger King.
Oh, Burger King? No.
That's a quarter pounder with cheese. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's a quarter pounder with cheese.
It's a bloody fucking mistake here.
You all be paid special sauce.
I don't give a fuck about this sauce. I want something different.
Everybody wants something different.
I want extra bacon, extra swine.
It's a classic. No, it's
yeah, I know, but the Queen is a classic.
No, the Queen is a classic. How dare you?
Oh, this is...
Yeah, but doesn't have it on McDonald's.
This
McDonald's.
Is rubbish, mate.
No, the kids smile out there in the crowd.
Fuck the kids. I can check on these little bastards.
Hi, I work at McDonald's. I just heard you say fuck the kids. That's,
I said fuck the children. Get it right.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's more exquisite that
Dan?
Way.
Dan?
Hey, you better fucking leave before roundhouse kick you.
And after you do it, I'm going to go bop, 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 bop. Fucking in love with it.
Do you guys try to help each other with bits and stuff, just being around each other, or is that like
sometimes you might try to, you know,
try to feel it out, right?
A little information, like, dog, you know, it'd be better if you did, and blah, blah, blah.
It's only inevitable once you're around each other that much, right? And you hear somebody's
I still feel like an asshole anytime I like say, hey, you know what you should do? It just say, hey, you know, I know you've been building this car for a lot of years and you know exactly how this part goes together. Hey, but why don't you try this? It just doesn't work.
Here's something I'm working very hard on with Andy. And I noticed this is really a thing with white comics. Mm-hmm. It's self-deprecation. Mm-hmm. You know, white comics, niggas got confidence and swagger and arrogance.
Yes.
We don't do self-deprecating here. And Andy is very neuroses and almost Woody Allen-like. And I'm going, nigga, you got to get out of that. First of all, you better than you think you are. Mm-hmm. And second of all,
I agree.
Knock that shit off, nigga.
But that's why I don't wear a leather suit when I come out on stage.
I don't wear a leather suit when I come out on stage. That was Eddie Murphy and a nigga named Leroy in Detroit, nigga. I don't wear no shit like that.
We don't talk about Leroy.
Man.
No, that's why it's done. No, but you know what? That's very true. Because there's a certain type you definitely see that with white comics. I don't know if the Latino comics and the black comics are, if it's maybe a sign of weakness or whatever, but you really don't see like the self deprecating humor.
Nah,
too much.
Man, we got too much swagger.
It's swagger. It's confidence.
Niggas come from the era where we that's just always.
Which is great if you're great, but if you're not, then listen, it's just delusional. I see.
But some niggas don't live in delusion. Their delusion is this is the shit. Why? Because some bitch somewhere is telling them. It's the shit. Niggas wear alligator outfits. You know how confident you gotta be, nigga, for your whole outfit to be alligator? Socks, nigga, is alligator? Niggas believe in themselves.
Absolutely.
This has been amazing.
Yeah.
Is this the wrap up?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
How long did we do?
Almost 90.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't it funny? It flies by, right?
It's like stand up.
And we don't do 90 a lot, man. And Brad and I say this every time that we've done, which has been probably like 5-6 times over 500, man. It's got to flow
dude,
like this.
Dude, when you.
So take that as a big compliment, man.
Listen, when you're having fun, it's not a job.
No.
And you know from being stand ups, man, when that crowd stinks, you working.
It's work.
Yeah.
It's
I
work.
Know, dude.
Volunteer.
Oh.
No, but that's hey man, that's a big you know, that's a great a testament to you guys and being here. You know what I'm saying? Like we've been flowing the whole time.
And as we get off here, let me beg one more time, motherfuckers, because here's the thing, we need y'all support. We're a new business and we're trying to grow and establish ourselves, but we can't do it without you, the people. So please, for the love of God, Spears and Steinberg iTunes or Spearsberg.com or AriSpears.com. And Patreon, that's Patreon. Support a nigga. I got 7 supporters. I get $25 a month. But there's motherfuckers on there that got 3,000 supporters at $5 a month. So you do the math. I'm trying to get my L'Haim on.
Andy, what does that mean?
I don't know.
This is the worst fucking Jew of all the Jews. This nigga don't have none of the Jew powers the Jews have.
I felt so bad. Like, I named my kids have the last name Steinberg, and they got no Jew in them, and they just get racism. That's all they get from it. They don't get any of, like, glory, Jew glory.
By the way, that's a great episode where you just grill him on, like, Judaism.
It's coming.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm a nigga without a jump shot and a dick.
It's a congratulations.
I got nothing left, nigga.
Congrats. Yeah. Can we close out with a Shaq?
Please.
I think Shaq's the move, right?
I think it is.
Like, I think, you know, Shaq, there's nothing better. But, all right.
Or maybe Paul Mooney. The only thing that I'm worried about Shaq.
Maybe a little bit of both?
Because Shaq is so... You know, he's right here, and if the person can't hear me, you might get a lot of what's and what's.
You're right.
But Paul Mooney is brash, and he's going to be who he is.
I love where your head's at. All right. Maybe Paul Mooney, but then Shaq makes an appearance.
What do we call it?
A Thai restaurant.
Thai restaurant.
Yeah.
Hello, Fifi Paul, how may I help?
Yeah, I want to place an order. Do you want me to pick it up? Why do you want niggas to do everything?
You want pick up or you want delivery, sir?
I want you to bring it to me.
Oh, okay, one moment, please.
This bitch.
The pause is so great.
This is crazy. All these years they serve people.
Address, please.
All right, first of all, I have questions. Slow down. I have questions.
Yes, sir.
What do you serve that niggas eat?
Thai food.
Niggas eat Thai food. Is this, you know this for a fact. Tell me, what do you serve that I would like? What are your appetizers? What are your appetizers, Mei Ling?
Appetizers?
Appetizer. What is the beginning course?
What do you mean, sir?
Do you serve appetizers? Egg roll, egg foo young, spare ribs.
Yeah,
that's
we have
spare ribs is nigger meat.
We have the fried wonton. We have a dumpling. We have a.
What do you like? What do you recommend?
The fried chopped spare rib.
Oh, the fried. That means you know what I like.
Okay.
Did you know niggas like fried? Do you know niggas like fried?
Fried.
Fried
is popular.
Fried is popular with niggas. It's popular with niggas. Do you agree?
Yeah.
You do? You racist. All right, let me get the fried dumplings.
Fried dumpling?
Yes, I want 87 of them.
Huh?
Bitch, 87. Can you give me 87 fried dumplings?
One moment.
Oh, this bitch.
Shit.
Right. I don't know why I don't hear any Korean music. There should be some Korean music playing with this. If I call Kentucky Fried Chicken, they play Al Green when they put you on pause.
Yeah, so for this one, it's a $15 bar part time, correct?
Yes. Do I hear someone else? Hello? This bitch has really got me on hold, nigga. I feel like we should hang up and call back and edit it. So we go straight to the phone call.
Yeah,
we keep all these niggas on pause.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to hang up and call back? Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Dude, is it, this not the same Thai restaurant you called before? No, I was like, goddamn, they got to be on to you by now.
I know you as DMX, Dana Carvey as Paul McCartney.
Oh, he did it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, dude. I know we should probably make a run of them, you
dude,
know?
Dude, that would be, like an ongoing
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I think Will Sasso did it too as Arnold.
Arnold, yeah.
I want the spatibs.
Pom yum goom.
Pom yum goom.
That was great.
I wonder.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Wolfgang.
Hello?
Hi, what can I do for you?
Yeah, Mei Ling hung up on me, nigga.
What?
Mei Ling hung up on me, nigga.
Yeah, what about?
What about it? Is she there?
No, you're busy right now, sir.
Okay, I want to play.
Call anymore. Okay?
Thank you. You love me a long time, nigga. What's the number? What's the number? I'm gonna call from my phone.
Are you ready?
Yeah, what's the number?
Shit! All right, 3-2-3-2
Cut this out.
Yeah.
Obviously.
All right. Yeah. It's all right.
That is that's a lot of N-words that are going on our social media. So we will just know that is Arius Spears.
Yes,
Arius
Spears, ladies and gentlemen,
doing that one.
Spears and Steinberg, iTunes,
Spearsberg.com, ariusspears.com, and Patreon, baby, follow it.
And you guys just heard. You guys just got a preview of how
you guys are. Oh, shit, man.
I really wanted that Lady Peacock. All right, I would have started ordering shit they don't have. All right, I want fries. All right, I want fries. And I want fried chicken. I want my
when
chicken
when you
fried.
Asked her, do N-words like ribs
and
or whatever,
she said
like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
She had no problem confirming that.
You know that niggas like fried food. Sure. It's great, baby.
You guys come back anytime, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
And go listen to it wherever you can get it.
And much continued success to both you gentlemen.
Thanks, bud.
And keep that chest smelling nice, baby.
I will.
So, that's the show. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet.
Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.